B-Pod Studios.
97.5 The Fanatic.
It's 11 o'clock. You're listening to 97.5 The Fanatic, WPEN, Burlington, Philadelphia. Broadcasting from the Xfinity Studios, only from Comcast. We're a Beasley Media Group station. Like, all those, like all that happened, and it conspired into, like, this magic. But if you compare the magic, and you compare that with, say, the Patriots' sustained success, like, that's a formula, right? The head coach is brilliant. The quarterback is the GOAT. The system is the system that rarely changes. I mean, that's the answer to why the Patriots, and it goes back to what Lane Johnson said about having fun, right? Yeah, I mean, it was a magical moment and everybody had fun. But what the Patriots do is a formula. Ours wasn't a formula.
It was magic.
Right? It was, I mean, stuff happened.
Right, that's why.
Dog masks.
Yes.
And, you know, Saint Nick and all that stuff just happened. And on a given night, let's face it, right? If you're to dissect the Super Bowl, that run, those three games, it could have went wrong a couple of different times.
Julio could have caught it in the end zone.
Okay, and then right before halftime, the deflection.
Off the knee of Keanu Neal.
Right, that was an interception, which changes the course of the game.
Because they get it at midfield.
Right. Minnesota could have changed.
Patrick Robinson doesn't return it.
Right.
Because if they drive downfield, that's 14-0.
Right.
Minnesota.
Who knows?
Flea flicker to Torrey Smith, catching it, falling into the end zone. Beautiful play.
Right. And then the two things to me changed the Patriots game in our favor. One, Belichick decides to sit his best corner.
Right.
And he had a bad defense. And so he decided to sit his best corner. Two, Brandon Cooks gets knocked out of the game.
And you can add to that, that you brought up the Corey Clement touchdown. I mean, I remember Chris Collinsworth was saying that should have been called incomplete.
Yeah.
They thought that the Zach Ertz play, because it was reminiscent of the tight end from Pittsburgh earlier that season.
Right.
Which was called a fumble, and then it was a turnover. They didn't call it a fumble against Ertz, or they call it a complete pass. So there's a couple of things, but it all went in the Eagles' favor.
Right, which means that everything conspired to create this magic. Like this, for whatever it is, all those people together, you know, that is a part of it. Go back here. How does Villanova beat Georgetown way back when Patrick Ewing and that team? Like, they just, you know, it was a game plan, and then they shot 77% from the field, and it was just magical. Like, there's these great upsets and great runs. You know, there's magic.
Right.
It's amazing, because if you go look back to the last title that we had, it was the Phillies. Now, there's a degree of formula, which is the lineup. Like, the lineup hit. And, you know, that was more, they were good, right? Like, they were just a good team, and they beat the Rays. They got back there the next year. Oh, you know, won the first game against the Yankees in the World Series. They were there. You know, continued. They lost the Giants, and they lose the Cardinals, but they're there. They're, like, that's a good team. That's a formula team.
Yeah. Now, do you think it was more so lightning in the bottle then?
Well, lightning in the bottle is magic.
Right.
Yes.
But we expect them to get back there with Carson, right? At some point.
Well, we thought, because intellectually, we were looking at a team that had won the Super Bowl. So you go, all right. They were good enough to win the Super Bowl. So you looked at their personnel, and you would rate their personnel highly.
Right.
Unfortunately, I mean, look at it. The offensive line is it's been okay, but it hasn't been a great offensive line this year. Right?
Right. I mean, they've been dinged up, which doesn't help.
I know. You have Jason Peters. Like, you have the mainstays from that team. And who's, you know, Alshon Jeffrey's case in point. He's in light year. He's such a different player than he was 2 years ago. They were younger. Everything was different. As much as you say, well, it's the same players, they're not the same as they were in 17. They're just not. And the magic is just clearly gone.
Now, I got a tweet for you that I want you to discuss in a little bit. And this is from Arthur Fleck on Twitter. He goes, this is based off of the Mike Vick comments, and we could play that again coming up. What is success for Carson Wentz? He asked, does it have to be a Super Bowl, or can he be as successful as McNabb? And, of course, McNabb never won the big game. I think the way Vick was saying it is the bar is Nick Foles. It's winning the Super Bowl. So is that what we will claim success as? If he doesn't win a Super Bowl, he was not successful here in Philadelphia?
Listen, we can't even think like that.
Right.
I mean, and it's a great question by Arthur, but we can't think like that. He's not a, right now, he's not a good quarterback. You got to get him back to being a credible franchise quarterback, because right now he's not. Right now he's not playing like that. Right now, whether it's what's around him, whether all that stuff, but he's missing throws and his mechanics are off. So whatever it is, we can't even think about what he'll be judged on, because right now he's not even a franchise quarterback. I believe he's got franchise quarterback talent, but right now, the way he's playing, it's not there. He's not showing it. So forget about winning the Super Bowl, these lofty expectations. You got to get him past, who knows whether or not he can get over this hurdle of getting back to becoming a winning quarterback. That's what he doesn't have right now.
That's scary stuff.
It is scary. Mike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic.
What's up, man?
Hey, Mikey, how are you, buddy?
I had a Wentz point I wanted to make while I was on the phone listening. You got me fired up about Joel. The last time that he walked off the court in Toronto, he was hysterically crying, like bawling his eyes out.
Yeah.
It's pretty much unacceptable to go in there and score 0 points last night.
I agree.
That was a statement game you had to make.
Did he look loggy? You know, like he looked dispirited. He didn't have the jump that he has. I was shocked by that last night.
Which is equally inexcusable. How do you not have it?
Like, I don't know.
Bro, you're 23. Get in shape. What's going on here?
I mean, who's running this operation? He even missed 3 free throws. Like, wow. Like, how did he not run a play for him in the second quarter to go get a dunk? Like, just go get a dunk.
I'm glad you brought that up. That's such a good point. Like, that's something as a coach you got to look at. You got to be like, yo, I got to get this guy going, because that's my team. Like, I can't have him not score for 48 minutes.
It's really unfathomable that he can get cooked, Mike. He got cooked.
You can't be 7-2 and not score.
Especially with the ability that he has, you know? Like,
and it's 7-2, stop putting the ball on the floor. You're bigger than everybody else. Stop putting the ball on the floor.
I hear you.
It's actually inexcusable.
I know.
And I agree with what you said with Wentz. He looks to me to be emotionally drunk.
I understand, Mikey. Sometimes we're very familial here on the show, and we let it slip. Hell, I slip sometimes, too. Not like that, though.
Just because it's Corner's Bar.
Right.
That's all.
It's because it's Bar. Mike's right. He does look beleaguered. Those Southwest airline commercials, Take Me Away?
Yes.
Which I always thought it was a great campaign. Like, he just got to jump on a plane and go hunt somewhere, right? Like, that's what it feels like.
No, he can't hunt. Because that's causing other problems with players in here.
Why?
There's always, Carson cares too much about hunting.
Oh, yeah. Well,
it's always a joke on Twitter.
I know. All right, let's take a quick tea. We'll come back. Jeff McClain's going to join us, and all you guys. I mean, Mike said it too. Like, Joel Embiid zero. I mean, that's unbelievable. Zero. Like, a zero? I mean, go get a bucket. I got to get you a bucket at some point. I can get you a dunk. Unreal. Oh, we got each other. All right, we got to get through this. At some point, it's going to change. It always changes. But we got to get it through this rough patch. Holiday season is upon us. You know, we get the holidays. Now, what does that mean? It means spending time with family. What better way to visit family than in a new family vehicle from Family Crusher Dodge Jeep Ram for the uncles? That's right. You can go see your uncles this holiday season. And this year, during the Black Friday sales event, you're going to get employee pricing plus. Yeah, you'll pay what employees pay plus. You get the huge family Black Friday discounts all month long from the uncles, Uncle Greg, Uncle Paul. The savings up to 15 grand. Payments as low as 129 a month. Family has always had the best finance rates available, regardless of your credit. So bring your family over to Family Crusher Dodge Jeep Ram in the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall during this huge event. You'll see why at Family Crusher Dodge Jeep Ram. You're more than a customer. You're family. From our family to yours, we wish you a safe and happy holiday season. Online anytime at familyautos.com. The discount down payment depends on model chosen. See the uncles for details. Offer ends November 30th, 2019.
97.5 The Fanatic.
You know, he will fail in Philadelphia. I think, you know, just the bar has been set so high, you know, by Nick Foles. And regardless of when he came in, you know, he did what he did. They won the Super Bowl. Now, you know, it's a ceiling that's been set. And along with Carson Wentz's character, which sometimes has been questioned, you know, by his team, by his teammates, you know, and the public, you know, it just makes it difficult for him. So I think he's just fighting an uphill battle continuously, week in and week out, to win, to be a good teammate. You know, it's a lot. You know, that takes a lot on you. It takes a lot from you to be able to handle that responsibility. You know, on top of that, man, you got a guy who is probably going to go down as one of the greats of all time in Philadelphia history, and Nick Foles, and you got to chase that. That's difficult.
Yeah, yeah, I hear you, Mike. It's MV7, Michael Vick. All right, what's the poll of the day, Andrew?
The Twitter poll, Mike Vick says Wentz will fail in Philadelphia because the ceiling set by Nick Foles is too high. Do you agree with Mike Vick? This will make you feel a little bit better. 71% say no, Carson will succeed. 29% though say yes, I agree. 29% is still pretty high.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's pretty high.
Yeah.
For doubting your franchise quarterback.
Yeah.
And sometimes people like to vote like, no, he'll be fine because of the fandom inside you. But 71%, majority.
All right, well, that's good. Poll of the day brought to you by Marvin E. Cairns Heating, Air Conditioning, and Duct Cleaning. You got to call wife. Cairns can warm her up with special financing and rebates up to $1,925 on a new heating system. Visit MarvinEcairns.com for an estimate. Oh, this has been I did not expect this. First of all, Mike Vick saying that is a automatic discussion. So him going, nah, he's going to fail. The way he says it, with others, with like utter certainty.
He will fail in Philadelphia.
Oh, man. Yeah, it doesn't mean it's gospel, but just the way he says it.
He doesn't even do the, he has a shot to be great, but no, he just went straight up. He'll fail in Philadelphia.
Yeah. T. Will on the text board. This is the new norm. Quote. And then laughing, crying emoji. Everything you guys are saying comes back to coaching.
This is our new norm.
See, nobody wants to see dramatic change. In fact, like, you want to see these guys, like, at some point, like, we're having this discussion about Carson, which we've had. At some point, we're going to have the discussion about Doug. Right? Let's go to Dave. You're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Good morning, Dave.
Hi, Ann. How are you?
Hi, buddy.
Hey, I want to talk about Wentz. I'm a little in the 29% camp.
Okay.
I think there's a lot of things going against him. I think there's an awful lot of pressure. You've seen it in all sports. I'm not saying he's overwhelmed, but I am saying it's obviously affecting him.
Yes.
I don't know if it's going to get better. My sense is it may not. And frankly, I don't want to wait till the end of two seasons from now where we see pretty much the same and wake up one day and say, geez, you know, maybe we should have done something at the time. So my thinking is as follows, and I know it's a bit radical, but it's clear the worst team in football is the Cincinnati Bunglers. They may not win a game this year. I think Wentz needs to be at a mid-market rather than a big market. And my solution would be, and that supposes that we see what he's been like over the next 5 or 6 games, I probably would trade him to Cincinnati for 2 number 1 picks. And with the first one this year, I'd take Joe Burrow's from LSU, because I think he'll also be a franchise quarterback.
Listen, I love Burrow, too. They're not going to give you 2 number 1 picks now for Carson. They're not going to give you, like, they're going to
They are the Bunglers.
Right. Yeah, but they're not going to do that. You know, Davey, I hear what you're trying to say. They're not going to trade him, brother. Honestly, yeah. They're not going to trade him. I get what you're trying to say. Probably. What's that, buddy?
No, I think you're probably right. Yeah. It's just different thinking. That's all.
Yeah, no, I get it. You're not going to be able to pilfer a team and get 2 number 1 picks for Carson and one being the number 1 overall pick. And I love Burrow, but it's not going to happen. He's my Heisman. My Heisman vote. On the line with us, does a brilliant job covering this team and all the drama. I'm sure he didn't think he would be right here at this point. From the Inquirer, Inquirer.com, on the Comcast Business Hotline, Jeff McClain. Good morning, Jeff.
Hey, Anthony, what's up?
What's up? We got people entertaining trades for Carson.
Yeah, no, I found that amusing.
So, all right. Did you hear the Michael Vick cut? Did you hear Michael, what he said?
Yeah, and I have a take on that.
I'm glad, because that's the first question I have for you. So go ahead, you know, address my ear. I'll even play the first part of it.
Okay. He will fail in Philadelphia.
Your thoughts?
Yeah, so I think the question was posed to him that, you know, will he fail or something like that, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, so as someone who's interviewed Michael for 5 years and got to know him pretty well, at least in terms of the player-reporter relationship, Mike tends to go along with leading questions. And I bet you that's the case of this. I bet you if you asked him the question the opposite way, he probably would have said, no, he won't fail. You know, that's just Mike.
No, I hear he's agreeable in a lot of ways. But you know what? Here's the only thing. He went on at length. Did you hear the whole thing?
Well, yeah, I did. Okay. I didn't hear the whole thing. I saw the text of it.
All right, well, listen to his voice and just listen to the whole thing because it's kind of important.
You know, he will fail in Philadelphia. I think, you know, just the bar has been set so high, you know, by Nick Foles. And regardless of when he came in, you know, he did what he did. They won the Super Bowl. Now, you know, it's a ceiling that's been set. And along with Carson Wentz's character, which sometimes has been questioned, you know, by his teammates, you know, and the public, you know, it just makes it difficult for him. So I think he's just fighting an uphill battle continuously, week in and week out, to win, to be a good teammate. You know, it's a lot. You know, that takes a lot on you. It takes a lot from you to be able to handle that responsibility. You know, on top of that, man, you got a guy who is probably going to go down as one of the greats of all time in Philadelphia history, and Nick Foles, and you got to chase that. That's difficult.
So does it change your mind at all?
I mean, again, I think Mike is, again, just going along with the questioner probably. I mean, the points he raised are the points we've all raised.
Right.
Since Nick won the Super Bowl, is that, yeah, I mean, that shadow is going to, it's already cast itself over Carson, and it will continue to cast itself the longer he goes without achieving some sort of success. you know, what they mean by fail? Fail is the bar Super Bowl. So if he doesn't win a Super Bowl, he fails. I mean, I don't know what the context of the question was exactly, but so what are we asking here is that they should trade him then? I don't know.
So here's the question, how I read it.
Yeah.
Is can he flourish in Philadelphia? Can he become a franchise quarterback and have a, forget about Super Bowls and all that stuff, but can he be up to his ability, play up to his ability here?
I mean, again, that's a tough question to answer right now. Certainly coming off this game, you question whether he can. And for the first time, at least from my perspective, that, okay, maybe there's a seed of doubt. But look, this guy was an MVP, played at MVP caliber 2 years ago. We know he can do it. He's only 4 years into his career. One game is not a career make. And we're talking about a guy who's 26 and is going to be playing for at least another 10, whatever year. I mean, so much changes so often in the NFL from just year to year.
Sure.
You can change things because of
look at the Rams.
The salary cap. So to make that kind of bold of a statement to me, I can't even go in that direction. I think that Carson has the mental makeup to handle this city, more so than other quarterbacks. Now, look, again, like Nick struggled actually playing in Philadelphia his first time around in terms of the media glare but he got away from it and he had a different perspective on life because he had considered retiring. So that's why Nick was able to kind of take it. Again, he was also the backup, so he didn't have
And he was older.
He's older, didn't have the type of pressure. So, I mean, look, I don't think it's really even fair to kind of go in that direction right now. But, I don't know what the bar is. Are you saying Super Bowl or not? Or is that what the questioner was asking, Michael?
I'm just saying, listen, can he actually flourish and perform?
My guess is that
Super Bowl is different.
Longer than Doug. Carson will be here. You know what I'm saying? Like, everything will change at some point. You know, like,
Hey, look, I quite frankly, when I asked the question and I said, I have no answer. I don't have a crystal ball. And, you know, yeah. I mean, it's up to, I look at it and I go, I thought the kid had a tough mental makeup, right? The only thing is he has been through a ton. I mean, when you chronicle it, I mean, it just goes deeper and deeper. And every time you think it's going to end, there's another kind of plot. There's more drama that follows.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. If he goes out there and tears it up these last five games or gets better, the narrative will change. And I do think it's important to point out that, I mean, he was playing, I thought, pretty good, considering the talent around him in the first nine games. And even last week, it wasn't like he was terrible against the Patriots. I felt he did kind of come up short, obviously, with the ball, first down on the 26-yard line. But he didn't have much out there. I mean, he was missing the right side of his line, two Pro Bowl type talents, and Lane Johnson and Brandon Brooks, the receivers that he was thrown to. I mean, we thought that Alshon and Nelson were underperforming. I mean, not that these guys were underperforming. They just don't have the capabilities to kind of go out there and play the receiver position at a consistent level for 60, 70 snaps a game. So that has to all be taken into account. Also, the play calling. I don't think Doug had one of his better games. It's not black and white. You have to mention these qualifiers, especially with the quarterback.
Listen, I agree with you. I do. I completely agree with you in that sense.
I will say this. He was terrible. He was not good. I mean, on Carson too.
And this is what, I guess, there's two things that you come away from Sunday and you go, and you start to shudder a little bit. His mechanics are terrible right now. Like, that throw on fourth down, you can't miss that throw. And he threw it off his back foot. Like, what are you doing? And I don't understand why his mechanics are so bad when times there is no pressure and he's got time to throw.
Yeah, that was kind of a thing that we saw his rookie year. I did a couple pieces about it, too, and it seemed like when he had time was when he actually didn't have his best throws, and when he was hurried and had to throw even like just a ridiculous throw downfield, those are the ones he made. You'd have to think about it. So I think he's a little bit in his head right now, and he's trying to do a lot because, again, he doesn't have the talent around him right now. Certainly last week he didn't. to get the job done. And I think he has to feel like he has to do everything. And you know, who knows, this offseason, maybe he'll have to go back to his swing doctor, Adam Dato, out in, you know, works with Tom House in Southern California. Maybe we'll tinker on a couple of the mechanical issues that he's having. But I also think some of it is mental, too.
So here's the other thing that was disconcerting. The other thing that was disconcerting was KJ Wright talking about how they knew what they were running.
Yeah. Sometimes I take those comments with a grain of salt. They're, you know, that same word again. They like to rub a little salt in, you know, after a victory like that. But I do feel like that's something that has a little bit of validity when you're talking about, you know, Andre Dillard kind of set in a certain way, letting the defensive linemen know.
That was real.
Right. They do a lot to self-scout and to mix things up in terms of formation. And I thought that, you know, we saw it was very hard for teams to pick up on what the Eagles were doing in 2017 because they've become so good at running different plays or different formations and never kind of, falling into a trend in terms of how defensive coordinators were looking at them. But it's something that they're going to have to look at if you start hearing this more than one or two weeks in a row.
The other thing too, Jeff, is we're talking to Jeff McClain on the Comcast Business Hotline, is I don't understand how they put Dillard on the right side. I don't understand it. On Friday, he tells you guys that, you know, switching is like, you know, writing with your opposite hand. I mean, it's already defeated. He was terrible.
I agree with that. Now, their other option was to have just Big V go out there, and he didn't perform well. I think that's in the week before, and that's why they made the move. But it wasn't like it was terrible. It wasn't like a car wreck, and that's what Andre was in that first half. And I agree. I mean, I was surprised that he used to describe it in those types of terms. And after the game, I was like one of the few reporters that got him for several questions. I said, did it pan out the way that you thought it was in terms of that description that you used? And he said, yep, absolutely. And, you know, I get that it's an adjustment moving from the left to the right, but I don't think that's a kind of an apt. I can't even grab a pen with my left hand, let alone write with it.
Right.
So I don't think that was a little bit of hyperbolic. That statement, but as you mentioned, that told you where he was. He was not there, and he knew it was going to be a hard thing, and maybe he built it up more in his head than he had to.
And then the other thing is what about the coaching staff? I mean, where's the culpability there? Do they get an alibi because of personnel? Where are they sit in your eyes?
Well, I mean, if I'm going to mention personnel and as a qualifier in terms of Carson's play, I'll have to mention it as well in terms of the coaching staff. That being said, I mean, that third and three call was dubious, and my concern with that was that it's a standard play that most teams have in their arsenal, but the Eagles hadn't really run it for a while, and it was something that they just added back into the playbook, and I wonder how much they had repped it. You got Big V over there. Of course, Big V hadn't probably practiced it last week because he wasn't, maybe a little bit, but he wasn't the right tackle. It was Andre Dillard. And it just seemed not the opportune time to call that play when it was four down territory. You knew you just had to get 3 yards. And the other one was the third and short, which Doug had said was longer than he thought. But I looked at it again, didn't really seem that long. So a sneak might have made sense there again, four down territory. Why are you in the shotgun? Why is Miles Sanders getting the ball so deep into the backfield? Hey, just two dives, and you should be able to get it behind the interior of that line. So I thought there were times where Doug and his play calling didn't really put Carson and the offense in the best situation. And then when you talk about coaching and execution, and that also falls. You know, some people take that as a calling out the players, but I think it falls on the coaches if they're not running these plays right in practice. And you know, you saw receivers running just dubious routes time after time. That falls on Carson Walsh, and that falls on Mike Rowe, and that falls on Doug and the offensive coaches.
Is when we talk about the lack of running, is that Carson getting out a lot of plays, checking to the pass because he looks and he sees a crowded box and says, all right, well, I'm supposed to check to a throw here? Where's the relation of not running the ball enough and Carson checking out of plays.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough for me to say that. Sometimes you see it. Sometimes they're dummy calls, so you don't even know if you're going to check in or out. I'm sure there was some of that on Sunday because, again, the teams are looking at the receivers. They're like, yeah.
Right.
But why would you stay back on that? You know, but anyway, yeah, they're, you know, they are crowding the box. We saw that definitely against the Patriots. At a certain moment, they were like, why are we even put more than one or two guys back on these receivers? So I'm sure that was I'm sure that had a lot to do with it. But yeah, as you mentioned, yeah, I mean, Sanders was running pretty well, especially in the second half, and they seemed to get away from it a little bit.
So what from here on out? Do you see them getting well? All of a sudden, you go to Miami, and is that the elixir that they need? I mean, personnel.
Yeah, that
change.
They're getting players back. I mean, Lane Johnson's going to be cleared from the protocol probably today, so he'll be back Sunday. I would assume that Brandon Brooks should be good to go, although you are concerned about the anxiety. But I think Lane not being out there and Andre being out there had something to do with the panic attack. That seems like with the release of Jordan Matthews, that alludes to a return for Alshon Jeffrey and Nelson Aguilar. So Jordan Howard, probably a little further out, it sounds like to me. But you're getting some guys back. You've gotten enough guys back on defense that we've seen over the last few weeks that they've played well. I mean, the Dolphins aren't good. I mean, this is a game they should win. I think we forget that this team not too long ago went into Buffalo and beat an 8-3 squad.
Yeah.
They went into Green Bay and beat another 8-3 squad. I don't think those are top tier teams, but those are good teams.
So,
I understand big picture. People are concerned about the Eagles, but and they have to probably win four or five of their last games here to get in the playoffs, but it's certainly conceivable. They have enough talent on this team. The way the defense is playing, they can get it done. They just got to be a little more concise on offense.
Yeah, listen, is Alshon, I mean, from what you can gather, is Alshon Jeffrey on the same page as Carson Wentz?
It's a good question. I wrote a story about Alshon this weekend. Partly you and I had talked before about the contract situation in terms of, you know, the Eagles guaranteed a salary for 2020. He's guaranteed $11.5 million total, including the bonus that he had signed a couple years ago. The salary is like, I think, $9.9 million. And it doesn't seem like, I mean, he can get out of anything and they can trade him. I mean, how he traded DeMarco Murray. I mean, so he can trade.
Right.
Alshon Jeffrey and get something back, probably wouldn't be much. They can also release him, and with there's an offset language in the contract that would allow them to get some money back. I don't know how much they would get, and they'd still be taking some sort of cap hit for that release. So it'd be a significant cap hit. I do think part of Alshon's struggles this year really have to do with the lingering injuries that he's had. He is getting older. I do feel like to some extent he has underperformed in terms of what you thought you were getting when you signed him in the first place. And then when you gave him that big contract extension, he was good in the Super Bowl. No one will ever forget that. And in the playoff run there. So certainly Alshon hasn't been anywhere close to a bust, but, to answer your question about him and Carson, I mean, you know, you have to wonder, there's been a report that he was the one behind the anonymous quotes to ESPN, while he kind of denied it the first time, it took several questionings for me to actually get him to say it. And then when he was asked again after the report, he kind of just, he didn't go there. And then, as I reported in the story on the
plane ticket
Saturday,
is outrageous.
That Carson had bought plane tickets for Irwin to go to the workouts in July. And I wanted to ask Alshon, you know, why didn't you show? He hasn't really spoken to media for weeks now, and he kind of just walked by us.
And that's outrageous. Like, you just don't show.
Well, who knows? He may have had something else planned or something came up. You don't know, but from what I was told, the ticket was bought and he didn't show.
Yeah.
So, it makes you wonder. We know there was certainly drama with the receivers and Carson, and then the reports come out. You know, you can't have that.
No, and that's what people are responding to. They see an offense that's inept. They see all kinds of stuff, and then they see the drama that follows. I mean, right. You're not going to win. You're not a playoff team. As much as you're right, like, they can go on some streak, but you're not a playoff team with an offense that's playing like it is.
Yeah, and then the one thing I point out in the story, too, and maybe it's circumstantial, but, you know, the numbers between for Alshon between with Carson and then versus Nick Foles are, I mean, there's great disparity. I mean, he's been significantly better with, he had been significantly better with Nick. That was 12 games total.
Uh-huh.
I think he's played 31 with Carson, and it's a drastic difference. And
wow.
I don't know if that's something that Alshon notices himself, and that's his concerns. Yeah. I don't know.
Well, I can send him to Jacksonville. Jeff, thanks, bro. Listen, you're the best, man. Happy Thanksgiving. All right, we love you, buddy.
You too. Happy Thanksgiving. Yep, talk to you soon.
See you, pal. Jeff McClain from the Inquirer, Inquirer.com. Interesting stuff. We'll come back. We'll talk about it. I mean, you know, what are the chances he's going to be back next year? I hate drama with you. There's nothing worse than football team drama. Like, nah, I don't want football team drama. I don't want basketball team drama. I just want to win. All right, that's it. We want to go on a ride. Take us for a ride. That's all. Holiday season is upon us. What better way? What does it mean? Well, it means spending time with family, right? What better way to visit family than in a new family vehicle from the uncles at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram? This year, during the Black Friday sales event, you're going to get employee pricing plus. Yes, you will pay what employees pay, plus get the huge family Black Friday discounts all month long. That saves up to 15 grand. Payments as low as $129 per month. Family always is the best finance rates available, regardless of your credit. Come on, man. You can bring your family over to Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. See the uncles, Uncle Greg and Uncle Paul. Have a little line of Zet. Right in the Philadelphia Airport Auto Mall during this huge event. You'll see why at Family Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, you're more than a customer. You're family. From our family to yours, we wish you a safe and happy holiday season. Online at familyautos.com. Discount down payment, depend on model chosen. See the uncles for details. The offer ends November 30th, 2019.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Put the headphones in. The headphones broke. Try to re-snap them. And they're all backwards.
I'm just watching them like...
Yeah. Unfortunately, my new friends, all right, Bill and Kimber, we are... When I tell you about the Reading Terminal Market, oh, tomorrow, it is unbelievable what's going on at the Reading Terminal Market tomorrow. You understand that?
I can't wait.
Do you have any idea?
A lot of food.
Yeah, well, it doesn't get better than Beck's Cajun Cafe, right? So they dropped off the food today. The this Cajun cheesesteak is ridiculous. It got best of Philly. So Philly Mag's 30 cheesesteaks to eat before you die. And it's ridiculous. It's called the train wreck. You ready? Steak, salami, and dewy sausage, onion, cheese, the homemade delicious Creole mayo. It's unbelievable. Beck's Cajun Cafe. Wow. How about this? They do this fried mac and cheese and bacon.
Oh, my God.
Balls. They're like the little heavenly balls. Ridiculous. Unbelievable. Guys, Kimber. Tremendous, Kimber. Outrageous. You got to check it out. Beck's Cajun Cafe at the Reading Terminal Market and in 30th Street Station. Oh, great. You're taking the train to New York. You don't eat. Eat over here.
Exactly.
You go get that cheesesteak. I'm a cheesesteak freak. All right. It's my favorite. Like, I love cheesesteaks. So, and this is so unique. What a great taste, that andouille sausage. And it's great. It's a great take on a cheesesteak called the train wreck. Awesome. Don't forget tomorrow, the Reading Terminal Market, the feast before the feast. We want you there. Hang out all day long. There's going to be food and fun, party. Everybody's coming. It's going to be a big party. So make sure you come and hang out with us. We love it. You're in for a treat. By the way, 11 o'clock hour brought to you by Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. And we do our caller of the week. And our caller of the week will receive a $200 gift certificate to Golden Nugget Jewelers, where Philly gets engaged. We're going to announce the caller of the week every Friday. What do we got? Who's in the lead
right now? Steve in Elkins Park. And because Friday you have a shortened show, we'll announce it at 11:45 on nice. Friday. Normally do 1:45, but
yeah, we're going to Miami on Friday with the Eagles, doing our Philly sports trips, hanging out with a bunch of Eagle fans. Looking forward to that.
By the way, speaking of the party tomorrow, back and forth with Jim Lynham. He seems like he will be stopping by tomorrow. Oh, so that would be pretty cool, too.
Trying
to figure out a time, but he said he'd love to stop by. And
well, you know, Philly, listen, you have a Philadelphia legend.
In a legendary place.
Exactly. That's exactly it. All right, let's talk to our people. Let's go to did you get the food?
No, not yet. I'm going next break.
All right, make sure.
I can't wait, man. I did not eat breakfast today knowing that there would be food here.
Yeah, I know.
Great food.
It's unbelievable. Don't eat. Whatever you do, when you go home tonight, don't eat. Because tomorrow's a big day. And you have a big day on Saturday.
Yeah, I know.
So you'll need to sample. Small tasting.
Small. Try it on the tux.
I know, dude.
I tried on the tux.
You look great. Don't worry about it. Uh-huh. You look great. Let's go to Tim in San Antonio. Timmy, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, brother?
What's going on, guys? Big fan out of San Antonio, Texas. I've got a question, actually more a statement. I think Eagle fans need to pump the brakes on trading or just bashing Carson Wentz.
Yeah, he's not going to get traded.
No, but is the man not allowed to have a bad game, a bad couple games? Even the greats have them. Yeah. My question is, why aren't we complaining about Doug's lack of creativity? Why aren't we hitting the wide receivers coach? Why aren't we hitting Mike Groh? Who is it? Press Taylor or Carson Welch, whoever he is? They need to go.
Yeah.
The only way Carson is going to get better is they need to go.
Listen, I hear you. Now understand this. And you get it. You're a football fan. You know the deal. The quarterback's always going to get hit, right? I mean,
yeah.
I mean, Donovan got hit. I mean, that's his bottom. Randall got destroyed. So I don't have pity. But I do agree with you. I think the deal is you got to get better offensively, and you got to get better. There needs to be better coaching. There needs personnel. I mean, they got issues. And quite frankly, we have someone about to say this, Tim. Mark's about to say that Wentz is in the wrong offense, and I completely agree. I've said this numerous times. I don't think this offense is right for him.
That was my second point I was going to push out. One of my best friends, unfortunately, is a Cowboy fan. We watch the games together. He even said, he's like, you're misusing Carson Wentz, wrong offense. That's not his game. He's like, you guys are restricting him. And I was like, hey, it's not me, man, it's the coach. But another thing is Mike Vick's comments this morning. I kind of agree with Jeff. He kind of just, I've noticed in interviews he gets led on. I think he's wrong.
Yeah,
Carson has succeeded in this town. I mean, without Carson, we don't get the Super Bowl title.
I know. Unfortunately, it's what's transpired, and the question is, will he ever regain it? I'm hoping. I hope you're right, Timmy, because I would lean your way, but I don't know. And thanks, buddy. I don't know. I don't have a crystal ball. I've seen players just wilt in places like here, New York, Boston. You know, I mean, that's real. Now, I think he's got a strong makeup, so I have hope for him. I do. But it's not out of the question to raise the question.